So basically how this works in backend is the whatever Python or the bash box you have dropped upon, it uses the operators like Python operator or the bash operator, and whatever you wrote dipped upon it, eventually the overall system converts in the Python operator, adjusts the Python operator and uses it. And then you draw the lines between the two of the boxes and create the lineage of whatever dependencies you have. And we have multiple segments, like you can have the configuration based upon the DAG level also, and on the UI level also, on the task level also.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering Airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hey, Airflow community. Airflow Theory is here, and we are taking it on the road. Join the Astronomer Roadshow for an exclusive deep dive into the latest features, hands-on demos, and expert insights, all in a city near you. We'll be in London in May, New York City in June, Sydney in July, San Francisco in July, and Chicago in August. Don't miss your chance to connect with the Airflow community and get the inside scoop on what's next. Register now. The link is in the show notes.
Welcome, everybody. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Mark Lamarty. And today, I'm super excited because I'm joined by Shubham Raj, Software Engineer 2 at Cloudera. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you for inviting me here. Whatever you are doing is very recommendable, and this podcast series is actually very helpful for people who are very much related to the Airflow. Thanks for having me here.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm actually very happy to have you in this podcast episode, Shubham, because I know that we met, I think it was in the last Airflow Summit.
Yes, yes.
I'm really happy to finally see you for this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so today it's very interesting because you will learn how a software engineer, so in that case, Shubham, started to contribute to Airflow. So, you know, if you want to improve something in Airflow, then you will learn how to contribute to it, helping build Airflow 3.0 news UI and discover the clever drag and drop solution Eastim created that lets anyone build data pipelines without coding. So this is super interesting. I can't wait to dive into what you're going to say today, Shubham. But first, could you start by introducing yourself and telling us about your role at Cloudera? Like what does your day-to-day work look like?
Sure. So my name is Shubham and I am currently working at Cloudera as software engineer too. I work with the Cloudera data engineering team, specifically in the private cloud domain. We make a data scalable data platform where users can run their Spark and Airflow workloads without thinking about the infrastructure setups and all. So we basically make the data engineers' life easier by having it on. And I started contributing to Airflow because of this team only. So I get to know about the Airflow because we provide it as a service, Airflow. So I got to know about it from there itself.
Okay. Just to get some numbers, like how big is your team today? Are you just a small team or?
My team particularly deals with the platform. We are, I think, seven people. And there is also an Airflow team also, which is beside from my team, which specifically works with the Airflow components. My team specifically was providing the platform where the integration of the Spark and the Airflow things are done. And all over, we provide a CD platform where you come and just run your Spark or Airflow workloads.
Okay, awesome. So I guess one question for you is, how did you first discover Airflow? And yeah, actually, I just would like to start right there. Like, how did you discover Airflow when did you discover Airflow for the first time?
Yeah, so I think when I joined Cloudera, it was just out of my college I joined, and learning about what CD is, and I came two terms, Spark and Airflow. And I was excited about what it does and how it happens, what is the background, what is the backend things out there. So I was really interested to contribute to the Airflow and Spark. It was an open source contribution. And since we know that Cloudera is also very much deals with the open source things, so we were also encouraged to do that. But it was I think in 2023 summit, where we were already presenting a talk with one of my colleagues. So there, I think my first commit went in that workshop in 2023 Airflow Summit. So of course, whoever is listening this, I will highly recommend if you are in 2025 Airflow Summit, we always have a workshop there. So please do have it and you can get your first commit in. So yeah, I mean, the first commit went there in 2023 and I got to learn more about Airflow. I already have some knowledge, but having it on the summit, seeing multiple people and learning more about what Airflow, how different companies are using it or how people are utilizing it, give me more in-depth knowledge about Airflow. And finally, before, when there was a lot of buzz about 3.0, how these things are happening, and like, no, this time I can't procrastinate. And this is definitely, I'm going to get more and more about Airflow 3.0. And then I started my contribution and and the things I started, I think, from the UI, Airflow 3.0 UI migration.
Okay. You actually discovered Airflow at Cloudera, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Was it difficult, you know, to start with Airflow? Did you find it hard to learn about the tool?
So basically, no. The learning, the documentations are very nice. I will highly say that documentation online. So coming to the first, like the user perspective. So when I was writing my first diary, I remember, so I was referring a lot of documentations and all. And I basically wrote a simple Python operator job, and which I was felt like, okay, it was a good thing. And I did not find a lot of problems. And coming to the development side of the Airflow, I think that is also like, we have a breeze. Thanks to the community members, they have made it very easy to onboard new contributors who wanted to contribute. So basically my like journey with Airflow was very seamless.
Okay.
The onboarding session of me on the user perspective or on the contribution perspective, both of them were very seamless.
Okay, that's good to hear. And so like, why did you decide to contribute to Airflow? You know what? Because for example, I love Airflow, but I never contributed to Airflow. Maybe I should. But why did you decide to contribute to this project?
Yeah, as I told, I knew Airflow is there, Spark are there, and all these open source softwares are there. But when I visited the first talk which we gave in 2023, so when I met the community, when I met people, when I saw everything around, so I found the community very helpful. And I thought, okay, this is, might I start? Because this was my first open source project. I wanted to get into it. So I decided, okay, this might be the good chance. And basically I saw the community and that motivated me more. And of course the Airflow, what it does, it actually is one of the powerful tool which we have. And nowadays, whatever things are happening in the AI and things, I think Airflow is more important. So all this, there were a lot of reasons. And of course, the major reason was the power of Airflow and the community members. That motivated me more to choose a project of like Airflow and to contribute.
Okay. And can you actually, because you said that you migrated the Airflow 3.0 UI, actually the 2.0 UI to 3.0 UI using React. Can you actually tell us more about that? Like specifically what did you do on the Airflow 3.0 UI and how was it?
So I think I started with the first one was like a trigger DAG run. So that form basically designed, and then slowly it was like we whole design. Now the pop-up comes up and the UI is newly designed, of course. And then we migrated the good feature, like the params to the, inherited the params and all. Thanks to Jens also, like he was a maintainer of that. And we both combined and we actually migrated it to the new Airflow 3. And post that, I think I worked upon the variables, pools, connections, pages, all of them, and solving here and there small UI bugs.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the pool page? Because I think pools are useful, but for some reason, many people don't even know about pools, I think. At least like whenever I publish something on pools, that doesn't work that much. So can you tell us more about pools? Like, why are they useful and what did you modify on the UI?
So I think this is basically like people always remain with the default pool section, but I will highly recommend that. This is one of the biggest good feature of having it and limiting, making different pools for different things and you utilizing it. And you might have also seen there is a new UI, I think Brent and me were discussing about, I think the new page, and we wanted to move for different from the tabular format to the new line format where it more see like how much is remaining and then you hover over it and see the numbers of it.
Yeah. So this is great. Actually, I definitely use pools. And so for those who don't know, a pool is very useful if you want to change the concurrency of a subset of tasks. And so what you did, Shubham, is super interesting because now you know at which state your tasks are in that pool. So this is super, super useful. I'm glad that this page changed in this way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Also, like, One interesting feature that you contributed was the ability to control XCOMs externally. So can you tell us more about that? Like, why did you decide to create this API endpoint for creating XCOMs?
Okay, so we got an issue there, which was telling that the users might have a problem. Suppose you have a very long running workflows and something failed because of some wrong XCOM coming from the upstream. And the only solution you might have is rerunning that same task again, which is problematic in for the long running workflows and often sometimes expensive also to do that. And so we wanted to have something which is not that hard for the users and which make their life much more easier in basically also in debugging also the coming incident recovery from a certain point of suppose you are on call and you wanted to see how the downstream is performing and what issues are there. You just hit the API and you just update the values of the XCOM and check what is the situation or what else. We basically made very comfortable for the users to change the XCOM and play around it without changing the DAG file, going back to changing the DAG file and then again doing all that things again.
Yeah, which is very cool. Honestly, like when I saw that new API endpoint, I was pretty happy. I think we had a few endpoints before for managing XCOMs, I think. Okay. But like being able to create XCOMs through the REST API is definitely something cool. And I'm glad that we have this new feature in Airflow 3.0. So if you did not know about that, now you can create XCOMs through the REST API. Was it hard? Actually, I have a question for you, Shubham, like, because you contributed on different aspects of Airflow. Which one was the most challenging? Was it more challenging for you to work on XCOMs or on the UI or like, how? Tell us more about that.
I won't say it was very easy for any of the things or it was not very hard for the things. So basically, I started with the UI things, but eventually I wanted to take upon the backend wanted to understand the backend of how Airflow usually works about. So when I got opportunity of working on this XCOM creation and update of the APIs, so I took it up and I thought, okay, this is the great chance of understanding how XCOM works because this is something which flows from task to task and for working on XCOM, you need to understand how is the process happening and how is that value is giving from one task to coming to the another task. And after this, I think I also worked upon bulk APIs for the variables and the pools page where you wanted to do the bulk operations and all. So eventually, like I wanted to touch both part of the aspect, do not wanted to limit myself to one aspect of it. And still, there is a lot of things to take care.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
Is it more challenging to work on the UI than on, for example, XCOMs, where, you know, when you are a software engineer? Because, for example, I know nothing about front-end. So, like, how is it? Did you feel that it was more challenging to work on React or for you it was just okay?
So, I don't find it challenging. I think it's rather than the front-end, you might have different much opinions when you are asking reviews. It can be, opinions can be vary from person to person. Back-end, you more focus on the optimization part rather than looks about, but UI is very like you should know that how user might feel about it, how use it should be very helpful. You should not make UI that hard that UI should be like go to thing for the people to have it. So I think that was the major difference I saw, and it is not related to Airflow. I think it's all over the industry, this back end or front end things works like
right. I mean, I think if I were you, I would have prefer the back end than front end, but yeah. Okay, I know, and actually I really encourage people to look at the presentations you did in the previous Airflow Summit, but I know that at Cloudera, you've built a drag and drop editor for Airflow that generates DAG without coding. How does this work, technically speaking? Can you tell us more about this project? Because I'm sure many people will be interested by it.
Sure. As I told that, CD offers Airflow as a part of their offerings, and we offer our users to create the tag into either you upload it as a form of file or otherwise you have, we call it editor. So when you select editor, we provide a user with a canvas and you have multiple options there. Python, Bash, or CD job run operator. CD job run is basically you have some of the Spark jobs on our platform. You can also have it as a task there in the Airflow canvas. So you just drag and drop and So basically how this works in backend is the whatever Python or the Bash box you have dropped upon, it uses the operators like Python operator or the Bash operator and whatever you wrote script upon it. So it uses, it eventually it converts it into the overall system converts in the Python operator, adjusts the Python operator and uses it. And then you create, just draw the lines between the two of the boxes and create the lineage of whatever dependencies you have. And we have multiple segments. You can have the configuration based upon the DAG level also, and on the UI level also, on the task level also. And basically you can save it and then it goes to the backend and like it converts the DAG definition, whatever you have, into goes to a translation engine, and then it converts the Python code of it. The translation engine is nothing sort. It's just you have the Mostest template. It uses that and it fills all the values there. And it basically generates a Python code. And then, of course, then it uses to get it to into the folder from where the scheduler takes it out, like the however the, it works. And we basically designed this like a feature for the people. Suppose we wanted to have the smooth onboarding for the customers who might be possible that they are not very much aware or something, who wanted to try their hands on. So at the very first stage, everyone do not know how to write a tag, or maybe they have very good understanding of Python code or Bash, but there is small things which need to know about the Airflow to write a tag. We wanted to make that also a very smooth onboarding for our users. We made this tag drag and drop so that quick POCs or something, someone who wanted to do their small tags or something very like quickly they want to do. So we wanted to have some solution which helped them a lot.
Okay. This is super interesting. But I need to ask one question to you is, as you know, Airflow has many operators, right? It has many type of tasks. How do you deal with that? Like, can I create any type of task with your solution, or do I have just a set of type of tasks that I can use? And if so, then how did you choose, like, for example, the Python operator and the SQL execute query operator and so on?
Yeah, so basically we wanted, since I told you this, we wanted to have the at least the basics to the medium level of operations all should work upon. Okay. So we, for the Python and the Bash operator, you can put all your code, whatever you wanted there, and it will make Python function. And as we know all how Python operator works, right? Python callable function, and then it uses it. So our main target was at least people who are actually coming to the Airflow, they have a smooth onboarding. So at least these things are supported. And of course, we also support the CD job run operator, which is basically the people who have already have their Spark jobs on our platform who have used it.
Yeah.
So they can also use it on the canvas and create a lineage out of it and make a pipeline out of it.
Okay. You mentioned that the DAGs are generated. Basically, you have a script or something, right, that fills the values in templates. Do you have like one file, one DAG, or do you have one file and multiple DAGs?
Basically, the full one canvas, it has a one DAG.
Okay.
So that particular comes to the one DAG itself. So whatever you create on one single canvas, it will be constructed to the one DAG. And as I told, right, it uses the Mostest templating to do that. So okay. I decide that it can have multiple tasks. As I mentioned, you drag and drop it. So one file, one DAG, you can see that.
Okay. Is there any way to see your solution? Like, I think during the presentation you actually show some solutions, right?
I think we got into the live demo. I think, yes. So I think you can have a look. We have shown it on the live demo itself.
Yeah, I mean, for those who are listening, I strongly encourage you to look at the solution that Shubham did on his presentation. Okay, I guess like another question to you, because like definitely most of our listeners are on the user side of Airflow, but you are more on the infrastructure side. So what are some common patterns or pain points that you see from customers, and how does that influence the platform features that you build at Cloudera?
Sure. So I think this is a very repetitive process for any of the product to revolutionize and all, like getting the feedbacks and then what are the customer pain points and all. And one of the recent pain points we received was having the custom Python packages. For example, we, as a part of our offering, we provide the Airflow in the cloud native fashion. Employee uses the Kubernetes to do that. Suppose you are using, your DAG is using some of the library which is not part of the Airflow environment. So basically, you need to have it on the, all of the pods of the scheduler to the workers and everything. So by default, if you try to do it, you cannot do that. So we gave a solution on the VC level. VC in our terms are nothing but the virtual cluster. It is like you have an isolated environment for all particular instances of an Airflow. So you have it there. So what we take is we take the requirements from the requirement.txt file from the customer, and they can just upload it on the VC level. And that requirement can contain all of the tags, whatever you are going to run, and all of the third-party libraries or something, you can have it. And you just give them the paper repository link and all the requirement.txt. It basically try to build everything and creates a BVC and then mount it to all of the pods wherever it is required. So eventually you will have that particular Python packages in all of the pods running, and eventually we solved the problem, something like this. So this was also like coming feedbacks and all things, and we one by one try to solve each of our customers' problem.
Wow. Did you find that solution difficult to implement?
I personally did not worked on particular that solution, but the team worked upon it, and I think it was not that difficult. But yeah, of course, it's a very must to have solution, because we cannot say in production a lot of DAGs have the third party libraries they use, yes, and it's a must have solution for any of the customer to have it. So we also now offer, like, as a part of, like, it's way old releases, we given it. So now we have it on our product.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Shubham. I guess, like, I have one last question to you. What do you wish to see in the coming Airflow releases? If there is one feature that you would love to see in the next Airflow release, what would it be?
There was a lot of things in my mind. Well, if you asked me this question 6 months back, but we have Airflow 3.0, and I think we have near about covered a lot of things. But one of the things, I think there's a lot of AIP discussions going on the thread, which involves one of the things I recently saw on the AIP thread was MCP servers, integrations and all, and human in the loop. And there's a lot of things which are coming in Airflow, and I'm very excited about it, how that's going to look upon. And maybe, hopefully, we are going to have a lot of summit talks in this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I think the future is exciting. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining, Shubham. And I guess, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
People can get me on the LinkedIn, which is Shubham's official. We have a handle. And of course, I'm available on the Airflow Slack. You can just search Shubham Raj and you can just talk to me there.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Shubham. It was a pleasure to have you. And I hope to see you soon for, who knows, another episode. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.